I want to share with you this morning on the topic, A Table in the Wilderness. Now, that title sounds familiar to me, so I might have done a message under this same title, but it's not the same message because this message is relatively recent. I want to talk to you with regard to the manna that came down from heaven in the days of old. I've been doing a series of teachings entitled Worship in the Wilderness, and I've been looking at how God provided for his people in the wilderness. Basically, what the Lord has been speaking to me over the last couple of months is the fact that it is always God's desire that we should worship him no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstances, even if we're in a place that seems to be a wilderness. Now, when you remind yourself of the Lord's provision to the children of Israel in the wilderness, this is immediately after, or maybe not so immediately after, they were delivered from Egypt. Now, the reason why I say not so immediately is because there was a time between the time that they walked out of the bondage of Egypt and the time that the manna began to appear. And that time frame in between is very important because unless that time frame exists, the manna is never really appreciated for what it is. What I mean by that is, I imagine when the children of Israel left Egypt, they left with some provision. They probably thought that this is going to be a bit of a journey, and it's best to take what we can from Egypt. And I think it was the Lord's desire that before he began to provide for them the manna, that bread, as it were, that came down from heaven, before he began to provide for them that miraculous bread, he wanted them to run out of anything that they might have tried to hold on to from Egypt. So there had to be this lapse between the time that they were in Egypt and the time that the manna began to fall. The same way with us, there has to be a time of testing, a time of trial, a bit of a lapse between the time that we have what we've held on to and the time that we have to say, I have nothing else but the provision of God. But I would also go on to say is not only did they have to let go of the residue of Egypt, but they also had to come to a place where even though the Lord had acted miraculously in their deliverance, the plagues that they had seen fall upon the enemies of the Lord and the opening of the Red Sea and the miraculous passing through and things of that nature, there had to be a time frame even between those great signs and wonders and the time that God provided for them the manna. In other words, there are going to be times in our lives where God is looking to provide something different in us. And we have got to be able to, while we continue to appreciate what the Lord has done in the past, sometimes we have got to be able to say, maybe God is not doing it that way anymore. Maybe the Lord is trying to move me into another place. So at the same rate that we have to let go of the residue of Egypt, sometimes we have to let go of the testimonies of the past. That doesn't mean that we forget what God has done, but it's sort of like what Paul says. I'm kind of letting go of yesterday so that I can move on into what God is trying to do in my life today. Sometimes for us as Christians, we feel almost afraid to move into what God is trying to do because we felt so comfortable with what he had done. And comfort is comfort. So if we fail to move on because we felt at least familiar with what was going on in Egypt, i.e. the leeks and the onions and so on and so forth, or if we are so busy holding on to yesterday's testimony of God's goodness that we fail to move on, at any rate, we'll find at certain points God just allowing us to go without. Not without his love, not without his presence, not without his kindness, just without the things that we're used to, so that we can say, okay, Lord, if you don't provide for me, I don't have anything. I don't have all the residue of my days in Egypt, i.e. my capacity to make things happen in my own strength, or I don't have the capacity to live on yesterday's blessings. I can't. The fuel of yesterday's praise is insufficient for today's journey. And at a certain point, I just begin to cry out to the Lord the way the children of Israel did. And when I do, what I find is that God begins to provide according to his wisdom, according to his timing, and according to his plan. And this is what he did with the children of Israel. He provided for them manna. And the thing that I love about the manna is, first and foremost, we have got to remind ourselves that this is a miraculous provision. That is to say, there are times when God provides for us in a way that we really can't give a process to. We can't say, well, first this happened, then that happened, then the other thing happened, and then finally this thing happened. It just seems at times that God's provision doesn't have any what we would call rational or logical process. There are times when no matter where we happen to be, no matter what our situation happens to be, no matter how deep we might feel that we are in one wilderness or another, it just seems like out of nowhere, God provides. It seems as though, for instance, say you're going through a time where there is some fear or there is some doubt, or you just don't think that you're getting what you're used to getting from your Bible study times or from your prayer times, and you're wondering what's happening. Now, usually what's happening is God is saying to you and to me, I know I did it this way yesterday, but I'm looking to do something else today. I'm looking to take you a little bit farther. But for us, it's like we want to hold on to yesterday. So we feel a little confused. We get a little worried. God, why aren't you speaking to me the way you used to speak to me in the Word? Or why don't I feel the same way I feel when I sing the songs of Zion? Or why aren't my prayers as vibrant as they were? Or whatever. And then all of a sudden, because sometimes we will say, oh, I know what I'll do. In order to make my songs a little bit better, I'll do this, I'll do that, or the other thing. Or in order to make my prayer life a little bit more vibrant, I'll try this, I'll try that, I'll try the other thing. In order to make my Bible study time, I'll try. There were plenty of times with me when I would say, in order to make my Bible study times a little bit more vibrant, what I'll do is I'll try this new translation or that new translation, or I'll try this thing or that thing. And sometimes it's just not the way the Lord is moving. And so what happens is the joy or the peace or all the things that usually come as a result of that seem to be on hold. And then it just seems like for whatever reason, according to God's wisdom, his timing that is greater than anything that I can understand, it just seems that miraculously God places in me a joy unspeakable and full of glory or a peace that passes understanding. It is something that is miraculous. It just seems to come out of nowhere. The thing that I love about that is it utterly and ultimately depends upon God. That's the nature of miracle. We are in, for instance, as in this case, a state of wilderness. That basically means that you are between where God had you and where God is bringing you. You're between, you know, Egypt and between the promised land, and you are, but you still know that you are where God wants you. You're not where you were, you're not where you're going to be, but you are where you're supposed to be. And sometimes when you're there, it's hard to understand, and then all of a sudden, God, out of nowhere, it just seems like he breathes a breath of life into you, and he speaks a word of comfort to you. Or he gives you a peace, no matter where you happen to be. It's like in the days of old where the Lord Jesus saw his disciples in the midst of these waters where the waves are billowing and the winds are howling. And he just speaks a word into it. Now, they had been rowing and rowing and they had been trying and trying. Now, these were people who were professionals. They knew how to do this. When they came to an end of themselves, when they ran out of the provision that they brought with them. Remember, at a certain point, he's doing a similar thing, and he talks to them, and he says, beware the bread, or beware the leaven of the Pharisees, and so on. And they said, is it because we brought no food with us? It's that kind of a thing. We get to a point sometimes where we run out of stuff. We don't have anything. And the Lord begins to say to us, in essence, you don't need any of that. Run out of that. It's all right to run out of that because there is something new that I'm going to do. And for some reason or another, somehow he simply speaks a word of peace into our situation. He simply speaks a word of joy into our situation. There are times when it just seems like nothing that we can do. None of our agendas, none of our plans, none of our disciplines can help us. And all of a sudden, God just breathes into us. We can just be walking down the street where we least expect it to happen. God just miraculously feeds us, miraculously pours into us, miraculously provides for us. So then the nature of this manna is that it's miraculous. It doesn't necessarily have a process that leads to it. There is oftentimes no way we can account for it, which also makes it mysterious. In fact, that's why they called it manna. Basically, manna meant, what is this? They had no idea of what it was. They just woke up one morning, they opened their doors, and there it was, all on the ground. It was like the dew that came in the morning time. They would wake up and there it was. It's the same thing with this kind of thing that God does with us, with this great provision that God gives us. We don't know how it happens sometimes. We don't even know what to call it sometimes. They never even tried to give it a name. They just called it, what is this? It's the same thing with us sometimes, right? God will give you a peace. He'll give you a joy. He'll give you a security. He'll give you a strength. And sometimes we don't even know how to label it. I think sometimes those times are the best times when God just gives you a hope inside of you and you don't even know why. You don't know what to call it. You don't know how to label it. You can't say how it happened. You can't attribute it to any process. You can't say, I woke up this time and I did this thing and I did the other thing and boom, this is how it happened. There is no way you can describe it. You can't tell anybody. You can only say, God has given me joy. God has given me peace. God has fed me. God has provided for me. God has given me a reason. God has given me a purpose. God has given me a sense that somehow or another, I can make a difference in this generation. God has given me happiness. God has given me joy. God has given me something, and I don't even know what to call it. And I don't know how it happened. I just know that it's there. You know what I mean? There comes a time when that's all we need. And those times when you're in the desert place, those times when you're in the wilderness, those times when you're in between where you were and where you're going to be, but you know that you're where you're supposed to be. And sometimes it gets a little cold. Sometimes it gets dark. Sometimes the winds get to blowing. Sometimes the wolves get to howling. Sometimes it gets a little bit worrisome, troublesome. And then God breathes. God speaks. God allows the manna to fall. This is miraculous. This is mysterious. And another thing that I noticed about it was that it was measured. In other words, it was something that the Lord did specifically to the person. He said, when you go out and get that manna, don't get any more than you need. Don't get any less than you need. Give us this day our daily bread. There's something about God's provision that is tailor-made to the individual, that's specific to the person. He knows exactly what you need. Exactly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can honestly tell you this, based on what I know about the Holy Scriptures and what you know. You don't have one dime in your bank account less than what you need. Not one dime more, not one dime less. Not one penny more. You might think you do. I might think I do. You might think that you're going to have an extra this or an extra that. That's the nature of humankind. I don't care how much you have. You always think that, yeah, an extra this might help or an extra that. The truth of the matter is you don't have one more dollar than you need or one less dollar than you need. That's the truth. It's because you understand it's your father who's paying your bill. It's your father who's paying your salary. You know what I mean? It's your father who's padding your bank account. It's your father who knows exactly what you need. And sometimes he'll hold back a little bit on this because he wants to give us some extra of that. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes in order to give us some sense, he's got to deprive us of some dollars. You know what I mean? Right. Isn't that true, right? So he tells them, take just as much as you need, nothing more, nothing less, because if you take too much, it's just going to rot. If you take too little, you're going to be hungry. Take exactly what you need. So now you take that portion of Scripture, and then you look at the other portion of the Scripture that says, for instance, that our cup runneth over. Or it talks about that if we give, it'll be given to us, pressed down and running over. Or it talks about, you know, try the Lord and see if he won't open the heavens and give you a blessing that you can't contain. So how do we reconcile these two ideas? Well, my thought is, if God gives me everything that I need, joy, peace, contentment, provision in this generation, and so on and so forth, that is sufficient. That cup is full. Now, what if on top of that, he gives me a heart of thanksgiving and a spirit of contentment where I can say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given me. And in my heart, I can be content knowing that my Father is providing for me. Well, you see, that's extra. You see what I'm saying? Because gifting, or rather, thanksgiving is a gift. And contentment is a gift. So you already have what you need. Top that off with thanksgiving and contentment, and your cup is flowing over. All of a sudden, you are beginning to pour out into other lives. And basically, that was the way it was with the manna. If you had a little extra, well, you had extra to give to somebody else. And only content people can give. Only content people can give. If you know that you have what you need, if you know that God has provided for you, then you're in a position to give other people. I don't care how much you have, if you're not content, you will never give. You will never give because you will never think you have enough. Even if you have 10 times more than a person next to you, you will never think you have enough, and so you'll never give. Contentment gives, and it can give even if it has 10 times less than the person next to you, because it says, I have enough, and that means I have enough to spare. And that's how God causes our cup to overflow. He gives us everything that we need, and then he tops it off with contentment. Tops it off with thanksgiving, and it just flows over. Well, that's the same way with the manna. This was miraculous. It was mysterious. It was measured. And it was, in a sense, momentary, at least as far as gathering it in goes. If you gathered it in, then it would last all day. But you had to gather when the getting was good. It's the same thing. When God begins to stir your heart, don't give him a whole bunch of reasons why you ought not to be stirred. When God wants to give you joy, don't give him a litany of reasons why you should be sad. Right? When God wants to give you supernatural and miraculous and mysterious comfort, don't tell him why you should be uncomfortable. Because when he's giving you that gift, brother and sister, open your mouth, open your heart. When he's beginning to pour in a joy unspeakable, don't tell him 15 reasons why you should be sad. Because the manna is only going to be there for a little while. Right? If you gather it while the getting is good, then it'll last you all day. But if you don't gather it when it's there, remember, the Bible says whenever the sun would rise, then it would burn off the same way the dew would burn off. If you didn't get it while the getting was good, you didn't have it all day. Remember, the Bible talks about the 10 virgins, and it gives, you know, the distinction between the 10, right? And my thought was, initially, I would think the Lord would ask me, you know, what's the difference between these 10 virgins? And I'd say, well, the difference was, you know, 5 had oil and 5 didn't. And the Lord said, no, that's not the difference. That's the result of the difference. The difference is 5 were foolish and 5 were smart. You know what I mean? That's the, right? You know what I mean? And as a result, 5 had oil and 5 didn't. You know? So it's the same thing. If God is trying to supernaturally give me joy, I'm not going to tell him why I shouldn't have it. If God is trying to supernaturally fill me with oil, I'm not going to say, no, Lord, you don't understand my problems. You don't understand. I'm in the wilderness here. You don't understand what I'm going through. No, if God is trying to give, hey, look here, if somebody's going to give me $5, I'm not going to tell them why they shouldn't give it to me. Amen. If, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to take it, right? How much more? Right? How much more when the Lord is trying to give me joy unspeakable and full of glory? I'm just going to take it. I'm not going to tell him why I shouldn't have it. I'm not going to say, well, Lord, you don't know. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. This is happening. That's happening. The economy is over here. And this is that. No, 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 no. When God gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory, when he gives me a peace that passes understanding, when the getting is good, man, I'm going to get it. You know what I mean? I'm taking what I can take. And then it's going to last me all day. You know what I mean? It's going to last me because when it was there, so God calls you to the prayer closet because he wants to whisper a word in your ear. Or God calls you to the scripture. And you might say, you know, Lord, I've been trying to read all day and nothing's happening. It's just like the guys who were saying, well, we've been fishing all night and nothing's happening. And then the Lord just says, do it again. Cast it over the right side of the ship. There'll be times when you say, I've been reading all day, I've been reading all week, nothing happened. But you get this impulse from the Lord that just says, try it again. Open it up one more time. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes it comes that way. Yep. You see? And when we go out into the field, when God tells us to go out into the field and gather in the manna the way he tells us to gather in the manna, when he tells us to gather in the manna, the same thing that didn't seem to work yesterday will work today. Now, I say seem to work because sometimes God speaks differently. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes he speaks so deeply that you don't feel it for days afterward. And you think days afterward that God just started speaking. But remember what he said to Daniel. I heard you when you first began to pray 21 days ago. I began to move 21 days ago. And so we don't know. We just obey. When we realize it's time to gather in the manna, we gather in the manna. The Bible says another thing about this manna, that it was majestic. It was angels' food. It's the joy of receiving from God reminds us that on some level or another, God treats us as though we are already on the other side. Right, Pastor, you mentioned sometimes about, you know, Jesus as the head, you know, crossing the finish line, and then we as a body following him. You know, we on one level, we're already there. So we, you know, on one level, we can interact with God. The Lord lives in us. And the Lord feeds us and he deals with us. And every now and again, he'll open up to us the windows of heaven, as he said, and give us some insight into the big picture. So everything that we see in this generation, it's not all that there is. And when we allow God to cause us to interact with him so that to a certain degree, the heavenlies are open to us and we are beginning to see God's plan and beginning to see God's heart. So that we are not overwhelmed by what we see with our eyes. And we begin to see with the eyes of the Spirit and with the eyes of faith and with the eyes of hope. We begin to see the big picture and what God has chosen to do in us. All of a sudden, we realize this provision, first and foremost, is God has provided for us himself. He's opened to us the heavenlies. And we have the privilege of rejoicing with God on a heavenly level. You remember the Bible says that we war on a heavenly level, right? It says that the war that we fight is not a flesh and blood war, but our war is in the heavenlies. It's with powers and principalities. So likewise, we rejoice on a heavenly level. We feast on a heavenly level. We, as it were, partake of the body and the blood of Christ. We enjoy the communion of God. See, what God is saying to us is, I have opened to you my own heart. I've given you myself. And no matter what you seem to lack, the one thing that you don't lack is me. And so we could say, along with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Since God is with me, I shall not lack. Since God is leading me, I shall not lack. Since God is nurturing me, I shall not lack. This is why he was able to say, even if I go into the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid because God is with me. So you and I have God as our ultimate provision. There is absolutely nothing that we need. Nothing that can be taken from us. Nothing that can be withheld from us. Remember the enemy when he first began to attack humankind? He said to Adam and Eve, God is holding back from you, in essence. But we know that that's not the case. God hasn't just provided for us. He provided himself for us. Remember what Abraham said to his son when they were going to Mount Moriah to offer a sacrifice. And Isaac said, you know, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham's response was, God will provide himself a sacrifice. God has provided himself for us. We eat. Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have nothing to do with me. In other words, unless you assimilate my character and who I am, obviously, unless you identify with my cross, but it goes beyond that. Unless you allow, because of the cross, yourself now to breathe in my personality, breathe in my character by the indwelling presence, then you have no provision. But if you do, you have no lack. There is absolutely nothing that you need. You and I have everything because at any given time, we can talk to the Lord. At any given time, we can access heaven. At any given time, that's what Jesus prayed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. At any given time, you can access God. No matter what happens to be going on in your day. No matter how difficult it is, no matter what time it is, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, sometimes the enemy will try to attack you in your sleep. Sometimes you'll find yourself in some sort of a nightmare. Whatever. I mean, there have been times when I've been going through a difficult time, even in my sleep, and I'll just cry out, Jesus, help me. I just mention the name of the Lord, and I mean like a shot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There he is. And all of a sudden, I realize something. There was this, and in the Christian heart, there was this commingling between the earthly realm and the heavenly realm. Now, certainly, when it's all said and done, we will all rejoice in heaven on that side of the already but not yet line. But there is an already side of every promise that God makes. There's a not yet element of it, the parts that we wait for and we hope for and we long for. But then there's a little part of it that we can embrace on this side of eternity. Bible calls the Holy Spirit, in essence, a deposit or a down payment, reminding us of what we have in store. And so we can have just a little taste of heaven here. A little taste and see, the Bible says, that the Lord is good. Heaven is really all about Jesus. And because we can partake of his personality and of his character and of his spirit, we can rejoice on some level or another in the heavenly treats and or at the heavenly table. And then the last thing I want to suggest to you is that this manna, if you remind yourself, it didn't fall on the Sabbath day. And what I found is, since the Sabbath day is a day of rest, i.e. a day of hope, a day of trust, there are going to be times when the Lord will say, now you know that I can provide for you. And you've received my provision. And my provision has been very specific. It's provision for the people of God. Manna didn't fall anywhere but among the people of God. So you know this is miraculous. You know it's mysterious. You know it's measured. You understand all these things. But you also understand that I reserve the right to hold back if I feel that it's the best thing and still expect you to trust me. Still expect you to rest. So you have God working miracles and providing mysteriously and doing all these wonderful things. And every now and again, he'll just pull back. Right? He won't pull back his love. He won't pull back his affection. He won't pull back his presence. But he might pull back on the manifestations that oftentimes cause us to rejoice, just enough for us to simply rejoice in him. See, that's the nature of the Sabbath. It's a day of rest. And so the Lord will say, I know how much you love when the Lord provides for you miraculously, and I know how much you love when the Lord provides for you mysteriously, but let me tell you what I love, he'll say. I love when you trust me, even if I don't. Remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to say? They said, you know, when they were about to be thrown into that fire, 7 times hotter than ordinary, you know, I'm sure that God can protect me from this if he chooses to. But even if he doesn't choose to, so we don't have to think about this, O King. We don't have to deliberate. We don't have to huddle up and try to figure out what we're going to do. We already know what we're going to do. Whether the Lord moves mysteriously or miraculously, or whether we fry, as it were, in this fire, it doesn't matter. We are going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to bless the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord no matter what. Now, here's how I thought they came to that conclusion. These are men, boys to a certain degree at that stage of their life, who had been through a bunch of fires already. They had been taken from their home, taken from their families, removed from the promised land, tempted with the dainty meats of the king. Time after time, they had to maintain themselves in the way of the Lord in a community that was never going to be conducive to that end, a time where they had to go from fire to fire to fire to fire. By the time Nebuchadnezzar heated up that one particular furnace 7 times hotter, for them it was nothing. Because they'd seen the provision of the Lord. Remember that one time they said, we're not going to eat the meat of the king. We're just going to eat these vegetables over here. And then they said, and check me after a certain amount of days and see whether or not my God can provide. And then they were checked after those days, and they were better, healthier, stronger than anybody around them, because God provided for them. So by the time they came to that fire, they were like, one thing I know, I don't know what God is going to do. He can provide. He can decide, no, this is the end of my ministry, or end of my life. I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to give God glory. Let me tell you what I've found, and then we're going to pray. It finally comes down to this. Every person that's here will be given an opportunity to nestle his head or her head in the bosom of God and to find a place of rest there that nothing on this earth can duplicate. But sometimes that requires that the manna stops flowing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked with the Son of God in the Old Testament. But they had to be in a fire to do it. God, every now and again, will give you an invitation to do something on this side of eternity that's a taste of that side. To nestle your head in his bosom and to rest and to trust. My question to you is that sufficient enough reason for you and for me to be all right if the manna doesn't flow exactly the way we are used to? If God says, I got to stop the flow of manna just enough to teach you how to trust me. Got to stop the flow just enough to teach you how to love on me. Just enough to teach you how to rest. Just enough to teach you how to enjoy the Sabbath. My question to you and to me is that all right? Is that all right? There are people here who are saying, but well, I'm in the midst of a little bit of a difficult time. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where I was, not where I'm going, but it gets a little scary out here in the wilderness sometimes. And I just need God. 2 things I really need. I need him to provide for me miraculously. His joy, his peace, his love, And at the same time, I need him to teach me how to rest. If that's you, I want to pray with you this morning. Believe God with you, love on him with you, and rest with you. So I'm going to ask you in a moment to come to the front of this auditorium. We'll pray together in Jesus' holy name. Believe him. Love him. Trust him. Rest in him. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. If God is speaking to you this morning and you just want to nestle your head on his bosom, then would you come join your brothers and sisters at the front of this auditorium? Whether you're here on the ground floor, balcony, in the annex, you can stand between the screens on our various campuses this morning. Let's pray together. If you're at home, just kneel before the Lord. We'll come together. We'll pray together. Believe together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, just as we're worshiping, I was thinking, you know, when you look outside this morning, it's as if I'm not calling anybody in the city a derogatory name, so please don't misunderstand me. But it's as if the devil drew a rectangle right around the church and put barricades up to prevent you and I from getting here to hear this word. And I'm serious about this because... And many of you pushed through, no matter how you had to get to church, you pushed through to get here. And coming in, you find that sweet provision of God, that ability to say, Lord, thank you for being good to me. Thank you, Lord, for meeting my need. Thank you for calming my fearful heart. Thank you, Lord, for just filling the emptiness inside of me. And now... You see what's going to happen. This is why the enemy doesn't want people coming to church on Sunday morning, because now what's going to happen for the rest of the day, you're just going to overflow. You'll be filled with thanksgiving. And that overflowing and that thanksgiving begins to affect people around you. People you meet in the street, the people who are agitated and fearful. And suddenly you're there and your whole countenance is a song. You remember David, the king, said, the Lord took me out of a sinking place and set me on a rock. And he put a song in me that people can see. They see it before they hear it. A song of strong confidence in God. A song that says, Lord, I came one more time to that well outside the city and you have not disappointed me. You've given me as much as I need and you've filled my heart. And now it's beginning to overflow. And now I'm beginning to want to reach out to others. I'll come in empty, but I'm going out full. I'm going out with what I need to do the work that God has called me to do. I'm going out with the supply that only God can give. I can't explain to you how it happened. It just happened. I come in empty, and I'm going out full. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. I am an absolute believer that nothing happens by accident. We're in a spiritual realm. Even the surrounding of this church with barricades is not an accident. And for me, meeting these two angels is not an accident either. Getting me in underneath it. There's a way. God makes a way. No matter how difficult it is, God makes a way. And by the grace of God, we are going to overflow and we're going to affect this city for good and for God. This city is not going to go down the drain. We're not going to leave this city without a testimony of Christ in it. Thank God. Folks, you've got to be willing to press through. You press through today, now the Lord's going to bless you. Raise your hands, please, if you will. Lord Jesus Christ, we heard about it. We sang about it today. The blessing of the Lord is here. We heard it in the preached word today, Father. We thank you, God, that we can lift up our cup. And you are more than willing to fill it. You are more than willing to give each of us the supply that we need to do what we're called to do. Those that have to raise children in single-parent homes. Those that have to stand in the marketplace. Those, God, that have to get through difficulty and despair themselves. Lord, you give us the measure every day. The measure, Lord, of strength. The measure of grace. The measure of power. The measure of authority. The measure of rejoicing. You give it to us that we can go back into our house and say, look what the Lord has given to me today. Lord, not just for ourselves, but for our children, for our families, for our friends, and for our neighbors. We thank you for this, God. We ask, Lord, bless the city through your people this day, oh God. Bless the city of New York, Lord, through your church. Your body, Lord, throughout the city. Fill every cup, God. Fill every heart. And bless the city as you bless our homes. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We lift our hands. We lift our hearts to you this day, oh God. And we say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have everything I need in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Thank you, Lord, for filling our cup this day, oh God. Thank you for bread from heaven, Lord, to satisfy every need. Now, Lord, we speak peace to every troubled heart, to every disturbed mind, to everyone that come in with a question. We speak peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty, we thank you for this, and we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty, unmatchable, and wonderful name. Amen and amen. Let's go rejoicing today. This is a good day. This is a good day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Glory to the Lamb of God. Give God a shout of praise in this house today. Hallelujah.